Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Mud Toe at Midnight. I am your host, Mud Toe Sasquatch. I have played my flute and I have offered sacred fire in the four directions. Please join me in sacred ceremony. I speak as spirit moves me to speak, and I invite you to do the same by calling me at 646-595-3440. And now, Mud Toe at Midnight.
Because I can get no satisfaction. No, no, no. Hey, hey, hey. That's what I say. Good evening. Welcome to the program. This is, or rather, I am your host, Mud Toe Sasquatch. This is Mud Toe at Midnight. We are on the With Insights radio channel of blogtalkradio.com. And I will be with you for now another 29 minutes. I've successfully killed off the first minute of the show. Just talking about whatever pops into my head. Now, let me say that a bit more appropriately. Appropriate is probably not the right word. A bit more in a way that makes this seem a bit more compelling. I have a calling. I have a shamanic calling as a healer of society, which means spirit gives me words to say or to write, and my job is to say them or write them. And sometimes it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. Sometimes it makes perfect sense to me. I think it makes perfect sense. I don't know. I don't pretend to be able to divine what it is, what spirit's intention is. I only pray that I'm the but what I'm saying is actually aligned with the intention of spirit, because it's not like I get these things written down or even in a direct voice. They just kind of occur to me. It's not like I have friends who are psychics, and it's not the kind of experience that they have described to me. It's just something that comes to me, maybe from my own experience, maybe not, but for no reason that I can track down within myself. This is what I'm supposed to talk about tonight, or this is what I'm supposed to write about today. And I do it and hope that something good comes from it, because I never see the end result. I don't, at least not very often, I hear back from people who listen to the show. I somewhat more often hear from people who have read my writing and say they've gotten something out of it, and that's great. The hope is just that whoever it is that needs to be hearing these words that I'm putting out there hears them, that the Internet gets them where they need to go, or that, well, I guess it is all the writing is on the Internet now, too, so that's the hope, and I just keep talking. So if it seems random, it probably is, more or less, and often, again, there's no plan to it. Again, what I end up actually saying in the show is usually not what I thought about before the show came on, so trying to keep it real, trying to keep it moving, trying to say things that hopefully are of interest and are helpful to people out there in internet land who may or may not be listening. And that's the explanation for what it's worth. This week, of course, we had Christmas, and next week we have New Year's, so this is sort of my combination Christmas-New Year's show, because I think if Spirit had intended me to have a Christmas show and a separate New Year's show, someone would have arranged it so that these holidays would have been spread out a little better on the calendar instead of like right on top of each other. Thanksgiving, New Year's, Christmas. I mean, they could have done a lot better with that complex. You just have a big block of holidays in the last 6 weeks of the year, and then you go until basically April or May before you have another one. I just think that there could be some efficiencies applied there. Just don't know. Also, it's fun because almost all of our holidays are based on a Christian calendar, which they appropriated from pagan religions. So there doesn't seem to be a lot of historical applicability. Since I guess we still have a nation, I live in the United States, or still have a nation that is at least mostly claims to be Christian. But there are certainly a lot of other influences here that maybe a more progressive holiday calendar might answer to that. Or maybe there could be different holiday calendars for different people. I mean, let's make this messy. That the whole idea of efficiency, I think I invoked that word earlier. It's not the word I wanted to use. efficiency oftentimes is a tool of the majority to get their way. At least that's how I feel. So I got to think of a better word than efficiency to describe the reason for sort of re-scrambling the holiday calendar, because I want it. I don't know what's the word for that. Anyway, we did have Christmas, and we do have New Year's coming up. Not my favorite holidays. I don't know. I don't know that I have a favorite holiday. I don't know that I have a holiday. I think they all kind of come in last place because they all entail bad memories for me in some fashion or another. I can tell you what my least favorite holiday is, and that's Labor Day. And the way that became my least favorite holiday is, first of all, back in Conestoga wagon days when I was in school. I mispronounced that so bad. Conestoga wagon days. Trying to make a joke about the fact that I'm old. Back in the old days when I was in school, school didn't start until after Labor Day. And in fact, it started the day after Labor Day, the Tuesday after Labor Day. So on Labor Day, you knew you were going back to school the next day. And I enjoyed school. I didn't really enjoy being at school. I didn't enjoy the social interactions that went with it. But probably more importantly, Labor Day was the day that my parents, my father's particularly friends came over. He was in the Army with. And he brought all of their families over. It's just this whole complex of people that you only saw once a year at the Labor Day Army reunion picnic. And so they'd come over, and then I would just, it takes me a while to warm up in social situations. So just as I was starting to get talking to people and having a good time, it was time for them to leave. Then you go in, and Jerry Lewis was on the TV singing that god-awful song. So Labor Day very quickly became my least favorite holiday, but Christmas certainly has, I guess, a share of good memories. I'm not going to say that it's all negative, but you know, there are certainly my share of bad memories connected with Christmas and New Year's. So I don't, it's all New Year's, I'm looking forward to that happening. No, not particularly. I think about the year that I sat at home. I haven't had a date for New Year's since I was married last. So it was 1997, we got divorced. So New Year's Eve, 96, New Year's Day, 97. So you say New Year's, 96, 97. So last time I had a date for New Year's, I think that's right. I hope some angry girlfriend doesn't call me up and say, "No, remember you took me out of me." I think that's correct, but... Now, New Year's Eve is generally an alone day for me, or a day when I'm out by myself and everybody else is with somebody. Either one is sort of a bad scenario. And one year I watched a comedian, the red-haired comedian who makes fun of celebrities. Who am I thinking of? Kathy Griffin. It was a Kathy Griffin marathon, and I watched that on New Year's Eve. And then another year I watched it on Univision on the Spanish channel I saw the ball drop from Nueva York, and they counted it down in Spanish, and I thought I would be able to count down from 10 to 0 in Spanish, but it's a lot harder than counting up if you're not used to it. You have to sort of think it. What was I going to think it backwards? It's like trying to say the alphabet backwards. It's just not as easy as one might think, just from the outside. But this year, I was I have no plans for – actually, I'm going to be working on New Year's. Until 11:30, so I'll probably be in my car on my way home when the midnight hour strikes, and then New Year's Day is a scheduled day off for me, so I'll try and find some way to kill that time. But this year, Christmas was sort of. Now I'm often alone on New Year's. I'm seldom alone on Christmas because I have my family, and I always went. My mom always puts on a big deal for Christmas and has all of the local relatives over, and so I didn't have to worry about being alone. I didn't worry about being overrun by my horde of relatives who would seem to get larger every year. The relatives themselves, I was going to say the relatives themselves would get larger, but actually they do kind of all get larger. But I meant the families. There are more kids coming in all the time, and I'm not really comfortable in, say, a house, a dwelling, unless there's a way that I can get into an empty room when I need to, and there's also needs to be an empty room between me and everybody else. So as you can imagine, with these very large crowds, my parents' house doesn't get any bigger, even though the family continues to get larger. So last year was kind of a, started off good, and then it went on, and then it went on, and then it went on, and then finally it was a little bit more than I could handle. I ended up actually going outside. Thank goodness it wasn't, as I'm remembering, it wasn't all that chilly, and just sort of walking around the house waiting for people to leave, popping my head in every once in a while. And I was really concerned. I said, I think I may have reached a point where I can't do this anymore. I think I may have reached a point where I'm going to have to beg off of family Christmas or risk turning into the sort of screaming version of myself that was very popular back when I was drinking. And I don't want to, but I don't have to be drinking for the screaming person to come out. It's a lot easier when I'm drinking. I don't want that to happen. I don't want to be throwing stuff at my relatives and that sort of thing. So I was really seriously thinking that I might have to beg off. And then I was saved by my work schedule at this place where I'm working. Developmentally disabled adults in their homes. And, if they're there and they need services, somebody has to be at the home. So there's not automatically shut down for Christmas or any sort of holiday schedule. But the other half of that is you don't know exactly what the holiday schedule is going to be until it's almost on top. You're almost on top of it because plans with developmentally disabled people, I hate to generalize here, Miles, is that the plans tend to not get made until the last minute when they're going home to see, maybe go to stay with other relatives or something over the holidays. And the plans are also very volatile because many of the developmentally disabled, there needs to be a shorter word that means that. Can I say DDE? Is that okay? You won't mistake it for Dungeons and Dragons when I say it. Many of these developmentally disabled people have a sort of a volatile relationship with their family. Many of them have a very angry relationship with their family. So sometimes they'll go to a place to stay with their family, and then a few hours later they're back because something has happened. So the schedule is very volatile, particularly over the holidays when the people with a lot of seniority have taken vacation time, holiday time, whatever. So that gave me my way out. I say, well, I may have to come. I'm not scheduled to work on Christmas, but I may have to come in if they're short somebody or if somebody comes in, somebody comes back home unexpectedly. So we did our Christmas on Sunday, my family Christmas, and that was just me and my mother and father, my brother, my daughter and her family, and then we had a visit from one sort of local unit of our family. And that, even at that point, it started to get a little bit intense for me. And I had to hide out in my room and then pop out occasionally. And of course I ate way too much chocolate and I ate way too much food. My aunt Debbie makes this just the most amazing chocolates. So it's the kind of thing where you melt the chocolate and you pour it into molds and then pop them out. You have Santa Claus head or a piece of a sleigh, just various Christmassy things. And then she also makes chocolate Buckeyes, which are peanut butter with a chocolate coating. And I like it because she has absolutely no concern for the aesthetics of the candy Buckeyes. What most people do is they take some sort of steps to make sure that the chocolate surrounds the sort of peanut butter sphere in an even way. And there's a little spot. I don't know if you've ever seen a Buckeye is brown with a light tan sort of spot on it. So you let a little bit of the peanut butter stick out so it looks like a Buckeye. So a lot of people most people take trouble to make sure that the chocolate coating is even so it looks like a Buckeye. Debbie does it. She just plops those things down on whatever surface it is, plastic or whatever, wax paper to dry, and then the chocolate drips down and makes a sort of skirt-looking thing around the bottom of the bag. And you bite into that, it's just all chocolate. Oh, my God. It's wonderful. And it's all sugar, and you're bouncing off the walls. And, of course, all the kids are eating them, too. They're all bouncing off the walls. And it's pretty intense. So, and I felt pretty sick by the end of the evening. And I carted up all of my booty, which isn't much these days. I think I got some gift cards, which I spent today. I went to Best Buy and I got a printer. I haven't had a printer for a long time, so that should be fun. a couple other things, loaded my car and said goodbye, and I was done with Christmas before Christmas even came. And it was fun because I kept thinking, oh, we should turn on the Christmas Story marathon. Oh, no, it's not really Christmas, you know, that sort of thing. But anyway, they did it all again. They did it all again on Christmas Day with a larger crowd. And I kept getting these pictures over Facebook of sort of, you know, why aren't you here? They didn't say that, but that's sort of the narration my head put to it. And they sent me some pictures of my granddaughter, which were very sweet. She was at our faux Christmas on Sunday, too, so I didn't miss out on that. And later on Sunday, well, I wrote a story, by the way, which is on my blog, a Christmas-themed short story. It's on my website, my blog, mudtoastsasquatch.com, if you'd like to take a look at it. And it's about a guy who doesn't have a whole lot of luck on Christmas. He saved up some money to buy his daughter a gift that she really wants. And then he ends up having to spend the money to fix his car. And then as he makes these desperate efforts to try and make the money back. Give you a bit of a semi-spoiler. It does have a happy ending because I wouldn't give you a sad ending on Christmas. Even Mudtoe won't do that. So other than that, take a look at the story. Let me know how you feel about it. And that's mudtoesasquatch.com. While we're here, we can also tell you can get in touch with me on Twitter. That's mudtoesasquatch. It's mudtoesasquatch is the Twitter handle. And what else? Oh, yeah, Gmail, mudtoesasquatch@gmail.com if you want to get in touch with me that way. I love hearing your feedback because it gives me some direction. You know, am I saying things or falling on deaf ears? Am I saying things that tend to resonate? A little bit of encouragement would be nice. If you have something to criticize me about, I will take constructive criticism as well. I can't say it, but I will take it. So there's that. So I had done that on Christmas, and I looked at Facebook on Christmas, and I talked to a friend on the telephone, someone else who was at home by themselves on Christmas, for a while, and then I had a very, very unusual experience. I had a call, and I'm going to be very careful when I talk about it because this is mostly somebody else's story, and I don't really have the authority to tell it. And I've already had to answer to that one person that I said I was talking to on the phone before because I posted about it on Facebook, and this friend of mine called me back and basically accused me because this friend knows me very well. And she basically accused me of basically every horrible sin I've ever committed in my life. Because I put this post on Facebook, I was very cryptic about what had happened. I just said it was an experience that I'd never had before, and it really shook me up. And she called me up, did you do this? Did you do that? Did you do that? I said, no, I did all those things before. That wouldn't it might shake me up, but it wouldn't be a new experience. So the new thing was I got a call from someone. It was a damsel in distress call, which is not new. Somebody out of town needed me to give her a lift to another apartment. She's moving out of this place where she was living and going to another place. She just needed me. She didn't need me to move any stuff. She just needed me to take her there on Christmas. And so from out of town, you know, I had to drive out of town. But fact is I wasn't doing anything else. I might as well be useful, right? So I drove down there. And, again, I'm not going to get into the details, but it was a very, very convoluted, very dangerous situation. There were other people involved, other angry people involved. And, you know, I've been in some situations before where I was in physical danger and were based on a misjudgment I had made. I was never afraid for my safety the way I was afraid for my safety. I mean, I really thought somebody was going to pop out of the closet or come around the corner with a tire iron and just stick it, hit me in the back of the head with it. There were just so many volatile elements. I hate to keep overusing that word. I got to think of a different word. There was new. As I talked to people, new pieces of the story kept being revealed, and the story just kept getting more complex, not in a good way, and more wild cards kept getting introduced, and it kept continually increasing my sense of danger. And finally, I did get out of here with this person. This person I barely knew. I can't even remember in what connection we met, and we had exchanged phone numbers for some reason. I have a suspicion, but if I said again, I don't want. It's not my story. That part of it's not my story. Who she is and what was happening is not my story to tell. So, but I don't clearly remember how we got each other's phone numbers, and that wasn't a drunk thing either. So we met at some function and exchanged phone numbers for some reason, probably something to do with my writing. I don't know. I shouldn't even have said that. I took her to this other place where she was going, where, gosh, I hope she was going to be safe. And I watched my rearview mirror the whole way home to make sure nobody was, following me, gonna ice pick me when I got home. It's that sort of heart pumping, blood going through your veins feeling that I used to seek out when I was drinking. Now I sought out dangerous situations when I was drinking, because it made me feel alive and made me forget my troubles. I didn't forget my troubles at home didn't seem like they were so troublesome anymore when I was trying to avoid being killed by an angry person. I must say, the problem is, may have been the alcohol may have had something to do with this. I was probably actually in more dangerous situations than I was on this Christmas. I just, because of the influence of the alcohol, I just didn't feel that. I didn't realize it. So this really felt like danger, and it's the most intense sense of danger I've ever felt. And my Blog Talk studio screen has just turned white. I hope that doesn't mean that I've lost you. Let me see if I can do something about this while I continue talking. I can use this as an excuse to pop over to my Gmail. Nope, nobody has emailed me since the show started. I can pop over to my Twitter. Nope, nobody's tweeted my Twitter. I have a grand total of 3 followers, and I think I'm not sure even who 2 of them are. I think I have 1 human follower and 2 sort of organization followers, and I've tweeted 4 times because it just doesn't seem to be very. I don't know, there's one of these things. It's like something to do with, it has the name of my city in the title. It seems like they retweet a lot of other people in Columbus. I don't know if that's what they're about, retweeting people they think they find interesting, because they friended me. Or not friended, it's not the word. What did they do to me on whatever it is they do to you on Twitter? So anyway, I'm actually not 100% sure what it would look like if somebody sent me a message on Twitter, but I think this, I'm on the connect page and interactions, I think that's where it would show up. But not having any, I really don't know. The other thing is kind of, I haven't actually tried this for a while, but I always enjoyed Twitterful. I was on Twitter once before and made my way to about 150 followers, and I just got too tiring to keep up with it, because to keep your followers, you have to keep retweeting them. And that's not my cup of tea. I have a message on Facebook from my cousin, JR, who says he's not following me because, I'll just read it. I'm not following you because I still don't grasp the whole Twitter thing. Well, neither do I, JR. That must mean he's listening to me. Hi, JR. How are you? He's probably wondering why, what all this fuss was about, too, because I put this there he goes. And then he says hello back. Good. I put this status, that's what it is. I put a status on Facebook saying that I'd had this very unsettling experience, unlike anything I'd ever had before. And, that's absolutely unfair, making a tweet like that, making a Facebook status like that, because that's a cryptic Facebook status, and people get angry at you when you do that. You leave out the very interesting information. Which, of course, I had to, because the information doesn't belong to me. And I guess I could have made that clearer in the post. I can't tell this story because it's not my story to tell. It's, yeah. So, I had also planned, I put on my little tease with the show, I'd also planned to talk about Phil, but I don't think I'm going to get to him. Maybe we'll talk about him next time, or maybe we won't. Maybe we'll all have forgotten about him next week. I don't know, but we're here now, and I've more or less lost track of what I was saying. What was I talking about before I was so rudely interrupted? I think maybe I had come to the end of it. I was talking about why. Yeah, I was talking about why the sort of negative reaction. I also talked about my. I was talking about my friend who got very angry with me, accused me of going back to the errors of my former ways, and so she said things like to me is you went and saw a prostitute, didn't you? I said no, that wouldn't be a new experience. I've done that. You know, you went. Oh man, that was just all sorts of various levels of degradation that I went through in my quest to disappear. I think was what I was after. Lots of unhappiness, most of it unjustified, led me to want to just be gone, and not dead because I didn't really have the guts to do something like that. But I just hope that something would happen, you know, something from outside of me would come and just take me away, and I wouldn't have to feel the things that I felt anymore. And this experience on Wednesday wasn't anything like that. I didn't invite it. I felt maybe I sort of did a little bit, but it wasn't, you know, 100%. I'm going out here because I'm looking for trouble. I did not go out there looking for trouble. I was not told there was going to be trouble. I had no inkling when I left that there was going to be trouble. It was just kind of an annoying request you get from a semi-friend sometimes who wants them to do something and they can't, and they've reached, you know, number 59 on their list because everybody else is at a Christmas party and won't come and help them. That's what I thought I was in for, and it turned out to be something quite a bit different from that. And there was a little bit of anger on my part, but mostly just survival instinct, you know, kicks in. How am I going to live through this? In what way am I going to come out on the other side in one piece? And that's sort of a new feeling, not being in danger, but that feeling of actually wanting to come out of the danger. And so I feel in that sense that perhaps I have made just a tiny bit of progress. May I claim that? Is that okay? I've made just a tiny bit of progress in becoming a fully realized individual, in recovering from whatever it is that happened in my young life that caused me to think of myself as something less than everyone else, as someone unworthy, as someone who needed to do better, perform better, make people proud in order to justify my continued existence. That maybe on at least some level I'm getting ready to let go of that just a little bit and be a and just be Mudto, just be who I am with no apologies, with no I keep wanting to say another one. I'm thinking of another more elegant word for apologies and I can't think of it. I think, you know, my story kind of ties into that too, which actually happened before this experience happened. So everything that kind of happened on Christmas ties into that. As I said in my original Facebook status, I'm never going to forget Christmas Day 2013. You know, whatever happens, if there are ongoing consequences from this, and there could be, she still has my phone number, and if somebody else gets a hold of her cell phone, they might have my phone number. But this incident may rear its ugly head again, but hope as time goes and I get some distance from it and that sort of fear subsides, I can think of this as a very positive thing in my life, in addition to be a very unsettling thing. So I've gotten my 1 minute warning. I want to thank you for listening. Thank you for being there for me. And if you could drop me a line, let me know you're out there. Let me know you're listening. Let me know you enjoy it. Let me know you don't enjoy it. Either way, I love to hear from you. I hope you have a great week, and I'm going to be right back here to start off 2014 right. I believe the date is January 3rd, and we will begin our fourth year of doing this. I guess it's 2.5 years. We're right in the middle. It started in April. But our fourth calendar year of doing this. So thanks once again. Have a great evening. We'll see you next time.